Wednesday, July 29th, 2020, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a good start. Hope everything is going well in your life. I hope that you, your family, your friends, hope everyone in your life is staying healthy right now. We are happy to have you here with us today. You know, we're almost through the month of July already. Maybe it's crawling by for you. I don't know. It seems like it's still actually going pretty fast for me. And maybe at this point in your life, maybe like you're sick of pretty much every single food that there is to eat. I don't know. Maybe you're doing takeout. Maybe you're cooking everything yourself. But maybe you're just kind of getting sick of everything. I have some good news for you today. Because today, July 29th, is National Chicken Wing Day.
Coo-coo-ca-cha!
And the great thing about wings is that there's a variety of ways that you can enjoy chicken wings. I mean, you can bake them, broil them, deep fry them, grill them. You can have a ton of different flavors if you're doing wings today. From just the standard buffalo, like the hot sauce that is so good. Maybe you do like honey barbecue or teriyaki or maybe lemon pepper, parmesan, garlic, salt and vinegar, or even sweet and sour. You can do dry rubbed wings. You can do wings with a ton of sauce on them. You can dip your wings in ranch. Maybe you like to dip your wings in blue cheese. You can have them breaded or you can just have them plain. A lot of different options is what I'm saying. So today, you know, maybe you want to go have some wings for National Chicken Wing Day. Just remember one thing. Always kind of keep this in the back of your mind. There is no such thing as boneless wings. Those are called chicken nuggets. Don't get that twisted. Wings are one thing. Chicken nuggets are another thing. Today is National Chicken Wing Day, and today you might want to go have yourself some wings. Also, we do have a happy birthday to wish today because it was back on July 29th, 1956, that American boxing trainer and commentator Teddy Atlas was born in Staten Island, New York. Hey, if you've watched any major fights in the last 20 years, you've probably seen Teddy Atlas somewhere around the ring, either maybe training, maybe he was doing the commentating ringside. You know the guy with the hard New York accent and he has that long scar down the left side of his face? Do you know how Teddy Atlas actually got that long scar on his face? Despite being raised in a pretty well-off family and area, Teddy started hanging out with the round crowd as a kid, and he eventually got slashed with a knife on his face. When I say slashed, I mean slashed. The cut took 400 external stitches and 200 internal stitches to finally close that up. Now, Teddy was a fighter as a kid. He actually trained under the great Cus D'Amato and would eventually start doing training himself under Cus. In fact, he helped Cus train a 14-year-old fighter by the name of Mike Tyson. But Atlas left the camp in 1982 because he had an altercation with Tyson. He says Tyson was being sexually inappropriate with an 11-year-old female relative of his. Tyson said all he did was smack the girl on the behind. Atlas didn't appreciate it. In fact, so much so, Teddy Atlas put a .38 caliber handgun to Mike Tyson's head and told him, "Never touch my family again or I'm going to kill you." Teddy Atlas has done some things in his life. Cus D'Amato actually booted Atlas out of camp and he never went back. He would eventually become a trainer in his own right. He actually trained heavyweight Michael Moore to the heavyweight title, and he was pretty hard on Michael Moore. If you watched that 1994 fight that Moore had against Evander Holyfield, I mean, Teddy Atlas took Moore's stool away from him between rounds. He wouldn't let him sit down. He said he didn't deserve to sit down. He actually told Moore at one point he could go in and take over and do a better job. And I guess it worked because Moore went on to win the title. Now, Teddy is a commentator, but the next time you hear him, maybe doing a fight or something, you might think about some of the things he has done in his crazy, sometimes controversial life and career. He might be controversial, but he does know the fight game pretty well. Happy 64th birthday to Teddy Atlas. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, I don't know, maybe tell us your favorite sports commentator of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com. Or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you're bored, if you just want to talk sports, I've been getting a lot of questions lately, just questions about specific sports. What is the NFL going to do about referees blowing their whistles? Isn't that going to be like a saliva issue? Hey, they might go to handheld whistles. I used a handheld whistle before. You just push a button and it whistles. I actually have had some questions about Washington changing their name to the Washington Football Team. Understand this. That is a litigation issue. That's not a lack of creativity. They're trying to get the name that they want, but somebody else has it copyrighted, so they're trying to get it. But maybe you have a question like that. Maybe you have a comment for the show. Maybe you just want to reach out and talk a little sports. Reach out to us here at The Dose. We would love to hear from you. Also, remember, we are now placing a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. Make sure that you head over and check it out over there. Subscribe to The Dose on YouTube. And that way you'll get updates every time we put up a new video. But we just put a little snippet of the podcast over there just so you can kind of get an idea of what the podcast is about that week. Hey, and I know you're all doing a lot of online shopping. You might want to go get some Daily Dose gear. Go to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo, and we've got a number of things over there. We've got t-shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got sweatshirts. You can pick them in whatever color you want. We've got a couple of different logos you can choose from. But hey, you want to go out in public, you want to advertise a little for the Daily Dose, we would love it if you did that. And tpublic is doing a ton of sales over there. So you can go over there. You can even get social distancing masks over at tpublic.com. Make sure you stop by there and get some Daily Dose gear. Hey, today on the show, we do have some sports news to talk. You know, the sports world is starting to come back to life a little bit. Going to be looking at a few items there. Plus, the NBA gets restarted this week. We are going to be joined by a friend of the show. We're going to be discussing what we might expect in this kind of unprecedented, weird, you know, restart to the NBA. Got a number of things to get to today that we want to talk about. But let's go ahead and jump into some sports news right now. Hey, Major League Baseball got started last Thursday, and honestly, it couldn't have been more 2020 than it was. Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Anthony Fauci, who has said we probably shouldn't be bringing sports back anytime soon, contradicted himself yet again when he was the guy who threw out the first pitch on Thursday night's opening game of the 2020 season in Washington, D.C. between the Washington Nationals and the New York Yankees. So Fauci goes up there with his mask, he takes the mound, and of course, his pitch is horrible. It ends up closer to first base than to home plate.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
I mean, his pitch made Mariah Carey's look good. His pitch, it was so bad, it made 50 Cent's pitch look... Okay, it wasn't quite that bad, but you get what I'm saying. His pitch, much like his virus predictions, were way, way, way off. Now, I did think it was interesting, and maybe this is just me, but I thought it was a little bit interesting when ESPN showed highlights of his pitch later, and they were like, and Dr. Anthony Fauci throws a perfect 100-mile-per-hour fastball right down the middle of the plate. That's the leader in sports, kids. Remember that. There's no bias there. That's the leader in sports. Of course, the biggest news this week was in Major League Baseball when the Miami Marlins had 17 team members, at least so far, test positive for the virus. Games have had to be postponed. And suddenly, everyone in the sports world is in a panic. I mean, we heard it all from sports this week. This happened in less than a week. Should they just shut everything back down? If this happened in baseball, then what hope do other contact sports have? Okay, I understand. Everyone take a breath and slow down. Here's the biggest thing. Let's not react emotionally. Let's look at this thing logically. We actually talked about this last week when we talked about some of the questions we had for the return of the NBA. And we said even then, positive tests are coming, and you must have a plan in place.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a plan.
For when it happens, because it's not a matter of if it happens, it's going to happen, and we just saw it happen for the first time. But you can't just shut down. You know, one thing that I have noticed, I've noticed this through the entire pandemic situation, I've noticed that people who have jobs and are making their bills and are getting paychecks are the first ones to tell other people they need to shut their jobs down. Like governors who are still collecting paychecks, they're really quick to tell other people you're not allowed to make a living because it might be dangerous for you. But here's the thing. We can't just shut down everything forever. You can't shut down sports for this. Yes, you quarantine. You postpone. You schedule doubleheaders when possible. Maybe at some point, you might have to force the team that has the positive test to even forfeit games. That's all in play here. But again, I want everyone out there just to think logically just a little bit. Let's say you work in, say, Los Angeles. And yes, your job is a little bit weird right now, but it is up and going again. Now, if someone in Philadelphia in your company tests positive, should your job need to shut down? You know what? Never mind that. Let's go one step further. Let's go back in time a little bit. Like, we all wish we actually could. Let's go back to, say, last summer. Back when we, you know, didn't know what we were going to be facing this year. And let's say that I come back to visit you and I tell you this. Hey, next year, there's going to be a virus and it's going to shut down all sports. I mean, we'd be like, oh man, that's crazy. So, like, athletes and, like, players and coaches are just going to be dying? No, none of them have actually died. We don't really have that. I mean, there are some people throughout the country and the world who have died, but no, athletes, they're not really getting fazed by this. Oh, okay, so athletes are just getting really, really sick to the point where they can't play. No, not really that either. Okay, so athletes are just, like, sort of sick? No, in fact, most of them don't even know they have any sort of a virus. They get a test, and then that tells them they had a virus, but otherwise they literally wouldn't know they had it. Okay, I mean, what would we be saying if we went back in time and were told that? But today in the United States, at least, it's like, hey, one person without symptoms whatsoever is one too many. And I'm not sure we can operate that way. Look, here's the thing. I'm not like anti-mask guy. I'm not this is all conspiracy guy. But we do try to bring you a dose of common sense here on the podcast every week. And common sense tells us that we can't hide under our beds for the rest of our lives. If we shut down sports again, how long do we shut it down? Until there's a vaccine? We could be talking 2 or 3 years out still. So we're just going to shut everybody's livelihood down until that point? Now, when we look at actual statistical recovery rates, people need to be back at work. They need to be out earning a living. And we're going to have to learn how to live with this virus, not hide under our beds from this virus. We have to move forward. You know, we have listeners of The Dose out there listening right now that are actually on the front lines. They're working real jobs every single day. And yes, I know they are afraid at times. They are uncomfortable at times. And you know what? They suck it up and they do it anyways because they need to make a living. Hey, sports has a chance to set an example in this country. Sports needs to set an example right here, right now. Have a plan. Expand the rosters if you need to. Make it safe, but push forward. Hey, there's literally no other alternative. The NHL is scheduled to get started again on Saturday with play set to officially resume with the Stanley Cup qualifiers this Saturday, August 1st. There are going to be 3 games in Toronto. There are going to be 2 games in Edmonton. The qualifiers will consist of 2 round robins, one for the top 4 teams in the East, another with the top 4 teams in the West. That will determine seeding for the Stanley Cup playoffs and 8 best of 5 series with the winners advancing to the playoffs. So basically, the NHL is just jumping right full on into like playoff mode. The first 2 rounds of the playoffs will take place in those hub cities. Edmonton is going to host each conference final and the Stanley Cup final is tentatively scheduled for September 22nd. It will end no later than October 4th. But we did also get some future news about the NHL. Did you realize there's actually going to be a new team in the NHL starting up next year? Seattle's NHL team, which will make its debut in the 2021-2022 season next year, this past week finally announced their name.
Release the Kraken.
They're going to be the Seattle Kraken. They did also announce their color scheme. Icy blue with navy blue and sharp red accents. The NHL did officially name Seattle its 32nd team back in 2018. They had to buy in for $650 million as an expansion fee. Kind of interesting though. Seattle announced they would be naming their team the Kraken. We know Seattle's had a lot of, you know, controversy up there. They've had a lot of protesting, that kind of thing. I thought it was kind of interesting. In a related story, you might not have seen this in the news, a number of Seattle sea creatures have actually taken to the streets to protest the name the Kraken. They call it troublesome, and they say it has some aquatic appropriation.
Oh, no, you didn't.
We'll see where that all ends up going. The NBA is set to return tomorrow with 22 teams playing 8 remaining regular season games. That is going to seed their playoffs, and then they will play off those playoffs to the championship. We're actually going to be talking a lot of NBA here in just a few minutes on The Dose. But we did get some news over the weekend that the New York Knicks have signed Tom Thibodeau to a 5-year deal to become their next head coach. Now, Tom Thibodeau, say what you want about the guy, he sometimes is very hard on his players, but he has had success developing young rosters. But I'm telling you right now, he's going to have his work cut out for him with the New York Knicks. New York was 21-45 before the shutdown this season. They were set to miss the playoffs for the 6th straight season. And the problem, you can spin it however you want. You can talk about the lack of talent. You can talk about they need a better coach. Maybe they need a GM. The problem is that the owner is completely inept. I expect Tom Thibodeau to have some success, but at the end of the day, you're trying to put a Band-Aid on like a chainsaw cut, so that's not going to happen. Moving over to the NFL, the NFL's Player Association Board of Representatives has approved a plan that is going to have NFL training camps opening as scheduled this week. The league held a meeting with coaches, general managers, presidents, and ownership Friday, and it concluded with clubs approving new training camp and roster rules so that training camps can now open. And you might sit there and say, well, big deal. Was that ever an issue? Yeah, it was. Because of everything going on with the pandemic, there was talk that even though they were set to show up at training camp, not everyone was on board with that. They were worried about some safety things. They were worried about how is this season going to play out. But they got this all straightened out, and you are going to see training camps open this week. We'll see how that goes. We did also have an NFL trade take place over the weekend. The New York Jets traded unhappy all-pro safety Jamal Adams to the Seattle Seahawks, and they are getting first-round picks in each of the next 2 seasons, plus they get a 2021 third-rounder. Seattle also threw in veteran safety Bradley McDougald. That's a lot to spend for the Seahawks, and that's a lot to spend for a safety. I mean, I would rather build my team at the front than the back, but maybe that's just me. We know Seattle has had a history of having very, very good safeties. They feel like Jamal Adams can take in and fit a need for that defense. It's a lot to spend. Meanwhile, the Jets are going to get those 2 and then a, you know, third round pick. And we know how the Jets are going to use those picks. We know they're going to use them on the likes of guys like, I don't know, Blair Thomas, Vernon Golston. We know how much success the Jets have when it comes to drafting players. I mean, what about the Jets' history tells us they're going to do anything with those top picks than like screw them up completely and pick someone that won't be in the league any longer than like 2 or 3 years? Nothing. That's what the Jets do. That's just how they roll. One thing to think about in this trade, though, I want you to think about this. Adam Gase, he gets rid of people. He doesn't always like maybe the most talented guys. Some players Adam Gase has gotten rid of in the past. He's gotten rid of Jay Ajayi, Jarvis Landry, Damon Williams, now Jamal Adams. He likes to get rid of guys. Players who got better once they left Adam Gase, Damian Williams, Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Parker, Kenyon Drake, Mike Gesicki. Adam Gase, you had better win because you're dumping a lot of talent and you don't really have anything to show for it that makes us think, oh, he's got a plan. He's got this all figured out. Adam Gase is going to be gone soon if he doesn't do something in New York. He needs to get that mess turned around. Finally, we did get an announcement in boxing last week that we have to mention. Former undisputed heavyweight champion Mike Tyson is making a comeback. I know you've seen the videos. I get it. Tyson is now 54. He is going to be fighting Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition on September 12th in Carson, California. The bout will be broadcast on pay-per-view. I don't know who in the world is going to pay for that, as well as multimedia platform Triller. According to a news release, Triller will also show a 10-part docuseries leading up to the bout. Now, Tyson was 50-6 as a fighter, and we know he kind of got everything stirred up on social media the past few months when he posted footage of himself training. But keep this in mind. Mike Tyson last fought 15 years ago, and he got beat by a guy named Kevin McBride in 6 rounds. Meanwhile, you have Roy Jones Jr. Jones is 51. His record as a fighter was 66-9. Good record. In his prime, Roy Jones was considered one of the greatest boxers ever. He won titles at middleweight, super middle, light heavyweight, and heavyweight. But also remember, Jones last appeared in a professional fight back in February of 2018. He beat a guy named Scott Sigman by decision. Never heard of Scott Sigman before or since. And the last guy that he really fought, Enzo Macarinelli, knocked Roy Jones out in 4 rounds over in Russia. That was in 2015. Hey, I understand social media creates some excitement for a fight like this, for this weird exhibition. But does anyone really want to see this? I don't want to see this. I'm not going to watch this. I will guarantee this. I don't even want to hear like the introductions. Now in the blue corner, wearing the blue Depends undergarments and the gold orthopedic shoes, iron deficient Mike Tyson. This is going to be a lot like the boy band that is still doing shows like in their 60s. That's not how I want to remember them. Do you really want to remember that boy band breaking a hip when they do their patented dance move? No, I'm good on all that. I don't want to watch this fight at all. Okay, coming back. The NBA is starting back up tomorrow in their bubble down in Orlando, Florida. And we are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show to discuss what we might expect to take place down there. Which teams are the true contenders? Which teams are actually just pretending? Which players are going to get in some serious trouble down there? Who's going to win the NBA Finals? We're going to give you the lowdown on the NBA's return when we get back. Joining us right now is a guy who has been with the Daily Dose since the beginning, and for that we are so thankful. Big Rob is joining us today to talk about the return of the NBA and what we should expect from the NBA bubble down in Florida. Rob, thank you so much for joining us here on the Dose. We always look forward for a chance to talk sports with you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back. It's always good to be on.
You know, Rob, we had a little bit of technical difficulties. I appreciate you staying with us if the podcast sounds a little different this week. We had some kind of phone issues. I think we have sorted that stuff out. Rob, I don't know how official any of these kind of titles are, but I've heard a rumor flying around that you actually might be the president of the Daily Dose I-Team. That's a big responsibility. Good news, it's a promotion. Bad news, the pay is terrible. The hours are terrible. You have to deal with me. There's a lot of downside to being the president of the I-Team. What do you say about your new election to the presidency?
I'm happy to accept it. I will work even harder to dig in.
Rob, how have you been surviving during this whole weird pandemic thing? Are you watching something on TV? Are you doing something specific that you're getting through all this nonsense without sports?
I'm doing better now. It was rough early on, but as sports slowly start to trickle back, I've been doing better. I don't know if I should say it or not. I found myself watching NASCAR. I've been watching golf more than ever.
Yeah.
But so it's slowly getting better. Baseball came back this week, so it's getting better day by day.
It is getting better, and we're starting to hear some things. And I'm just so excited to finally get to talk about real sports, not just, hey, so this week this got canceled, and this got canceled, and this got canceled. Not all the stuff that's closing and being canceled. We actually have some real live sports to talk about. It's been a rough few months. But Rob, before we get to the NBA, I've got to ask you about one thing, because I know you're a sports guy. You played sports. You understand sports. You get it. I love sports. We talk sports here on the Dose. We listen sometimes to other sports shows, whatever. During these last few months, there are some so-called sports experts out there. Maybe they do a podcast. Maybe they do a radio show. Maybe they're on a major network, whatever it might be. And I've had to stop listening to a lot of sports talk because all they do is go on and have their like whiny negative attitudes. They say things like sports are never coming back. And you know what? I don't even care if they ever do come back. Okay, then go back and hide under your bed again and give back all the money you've made from sports. You might have loved sports at one time, but you sure don't anymore. Like, you've lost that along the way. I am struggling to listen to sports talk. I just want a lot of these people to go away. I realize it's been rough, but the whole negativity that we're hearing sometimes from like sports people, you're supposed to be, I don't know, like you're supposed to be a little tougher than that. We're having a lot of people whining about, we're never going to get sports back again. I hope they just cancel everything. I hate it. I can't stand it.
I agree. I'm right there with you. Like I said, the negativity, I mean, doesn't help anything, you know, anyway, regardless of sports or anything, but just the negative attitude. You know, things are already bad and rough right now, and that just the last thing you want to hear is just more negativity, more, you know, pessimism. It's, you know, there's no place for it.
No, there's not. And the thing is, sports are extremely important. They do need to return. There are a lot of jobs. There are a lot of opportunities. There are a lot of cities and towns and people that need sports. And I'm not talking about need sports like I really want to watch a game. I'm talking they need the income. They need, you know, their livelihood. For a lot of people, sports need to come back safely, but they need to come back.
Yeah, you're right. Like you said, it's not just the players. I mean, that's like the first thing you know, think of. Like when we think NBA, you know, the stars are back, LeBron and everybody. But like you said, outside of that, the TV contracts, you know, the bubble, all the people surrounded by that are working to keep them safe, the testing. So it's just so much more, you know, that goes into it besides just the sport itself.
You know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that those guys that were saying that stuff, I wonder if they were saying it because they didn't want to be wrong if they said, well, I think sports are going to come back and everything's going to be okay. Like, they didn't want to be wrong. So instead, they just kind of went with the wimp attitude and were just like, I'm so scared of sports. I hope they never come back. I'm wondering if they were hedging their bets.
I mean, I don't know, though, because a lot of those people, if we're thinking of the same, are wrong all the time when they actually talk about sports.
Rob, you're dead right as usual. No, you're exactly right. A lot of them get every single thing wrong. So why in the world would we expect one of the biggest challenges the world has faced for them to be right on that? This is why you're El Presidente, Rob, because you nail it every single time. Rob, the NBA tips off again tomorrow night, Thursday night. We are going to have total 22 teams playing in this so-called bubble in Orlando, Florida. There are going to be 8 regular season games. And then we are going to jump into maybe a playoff situation with a play-in kind of game. And then we're going to jump full bore into the playoffs, which is going to be insanely exciting. Now, here at The Dose, we only do like serious sports talk. We only talk about the serious subjects when we talk about sports. Rob, if you are in the Orlando bubble and you aren't happy with the food selections there, what fast food are you ordering in to be delivered to you?
Thing that came to mind was White Castle. They don't have them here. They don't have them here in Denver, but that is, you know, just a fast food that I haven't had in a while. But outside of that, I think I would go with either Sonic or Arby's.
Okay.
And not a big fan of those, but the selection, I feel like both of those places you can, you know, you can get your money's worth. You can get a lot.
But yeah, and you can get a lot of various items on there, so you're not going to get sick of just the same exact thing over and over. Rob, I'm going to keep it simple. I think I'm just going In-N-Out, but I don't know if they have In-N-Outs in Florida. I think that's a West Coast thing. I don't think I can get In-N-Out down in Orlando. I guess I'm going to have to pull Lou Williams and just order food right off the stripper buffet. I know that the games are going to feel a little weird without fans. It's going to feel a lot like Summer League, and we're going to have to kind of put that stuff aside. I could see the NBA piping in some crowd noise. After watching the first few Major League Baseball games that have been going over the last, you know, few days and stuff, is there anything that you would like to see in Orlando that maybe they're doing in MLB, or is there anything you don't want to see?
I have watched a couple of the MLB games, and the cardboard cutout people kind of gets on my nerves. I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. That part, yeah, I don't really like. I've watched a little MLS soccer. And okay. And they do like a video screen of a live reaction. So kind of like, you know, you can see somebody on like a, kind of like a Zoom kind of thing. So you can see their reactions watching the game. So that's been a little bit, you know, more interesting. But again, not really. I mean, if possible, I would just like better, you know, just different camera angles for the game. Kind of like they do for, the championship, football championships in CAAs with the, you know, 4 or 5 different, you know, angles and camera shots. I think that would be better.
I do think that would be better. That's a good point. Yeah, I'm hoping that they either go with like graphics in the stands so we don't just have to see the empty seats, or like you said, the cardboard cutout is kind of a weird thing. I would think you could do something digitally and put something back there behind there. Or maybe you just go get the, the Korean sex dolls and put them in the crowd down in Orlando. My issue is I'm starting to worry a little bit about those players in Orlando. I have a feeling they'd be trying to sneak some fans back to their room, if you know what I mean. It's going to be a little bit strange. Rob, when we left back in March, when the NBA shut down and everything kind of shut down, the Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the league. Now, we're going to get to your specific NBA final picks here in a few minutes. But what teams would you be looking at in this NBA bubble as being the biggest contenders? Give me a contender that you have that you think is going to be at least in the hunt for the actual championship.
Well, you mentioned Milwaukee. Outside of them, my first one is going to be the Clippers, LA Clippers.
Yeah, you know what? The Clippers are going to be right in there. It's hard to doubt Kawhi Leonard in crunch time. He's just so good at both ends.
He is. And, you know, as we know, he's a guy that probably only wants to play 60 games a season.
Right.
Likes the limited season. So, you know, this, you know, really helps him out, the abbreviated system. I think, you know, he'll be full and fully ready to go.
Do we trust Paul George in the playoffs? Is he going to be, what do you call it, playoff P? Do we trust him? Is he going to get it done this year?
If he's healthy, I think so.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the problems, you know, that he's had before is probably injuries or lingering injury. But, I mean, I think if he's fully healthy, I do trust him.
Well, and you've got Montrezl Harrell. You've got Lou Williams once he gets out of his whatever quarantine that he was in for leaving the bubble or whatever. That team has some depth. I really like a lot of what the Clippers bring to the table. My concern for the Clippers will be sometimes they're going to go up against much, much bigger teams. I don't think Kawhi is afraid of that kind of thing. I do think the Clippers are definitely in the hunt. I am going to go with my first contender nomination, and I have the Clippers as well. I'm going to go with the LA Lakers, though. I think the combo of LeBron James and Anthony Davis is going to be a pain. My concern with the Lakers is a lot of that supporting cast is really, I don't mean like, yeah, they're kind of weird. They've got some really weird guys in that supporting cast, but they had been playing well before the shutdown. If a team can force the Lakers to shoot from outside, you might be able to take care of them, but I think the Lakers are going to be a big dog over there. Do you have the Lakers as one of your contenders?
Yes, well, that's one of mine as well, and kind of the same thing we mentioned too with Kawhi Leonard for LeBron James. I mean, that's someone,
yeah,
a lot of miles, has played a lot of games, and this is, I think, the break, you know, really benefited him.
Well, it had to, because he doesn't have to go on, you know, those legs that have so many miles on him. He's gotten a break. He's gotten basically a mid-season rest, probably too much of a rest, but yeah, it's probably good on his body. Is your third team then the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yes, that was my third team.
So you've got Milwaukee and you've got the Lakers and you've got the Clippers. I like Milwaukee. And obviously with Giannis, what's not to like? He's another guy that can play so well at both ends. My concern for Milwaukee is Eric Bledsoe. I don't know if they're going to get him back. They need some shooting, because we've seen in years past with Milwaukee, eventually teams just start packing the paint and daring Milwaukee to shoot. If they can knock down some shots, the Bucks are going to be a pain.
Yeah, I agree. And outside of Giannis too, they don't have, to me, a lot of star power. And I wonder if the break might adversely affect them, because they were humming. They were in a good groove. And, you know, I think a lot of that was the groove that they were in. And so this is, you know, I think a break. They can't pick up where they left off. I think they might struggle early on.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because they were playing so well, you didn't want that to be interrupted. And it has been interrupted. Rob, I'm going to put a different third team in there. And there's a few teams I could go with here. I'm going to put the champs in there. I'm going to put the Toronto Raptors in there. They surprised a lot of people last year by winning that title that we didn't think they could win, but it's not an accident. They're smart. They're talented. They're well coached. They have been in Orlando. They actually went a little bit earlier. They've been down there for like over a month now. I'm going to put the Toronto Raptors in there as a contender. I think they can get back to the finals, and I think they can be a pain. But, you know, we've got to look at some pretenders, and I know this is going to hurt personally a little bit. Rob, are there teams that you're looking at as pretenders that maybe people are saying, hey, maybe they could win it all, and you're saying, yeah, that's not going to happen? Who are your pretenders? You got a pretender for us?
I do, but I do have one more contender for
you.
Okay,
yeah, let's have it.
Boston Celtics.
Oh, I like that pick. I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, they've got a lot of young talent. Hayward's back, finally healthy. I like him on the defense. You got Marcus Smart, you know, good defensive mind. And that's a young team that I think, you know, can come together with this shortened season straight into the playoffs. And maybe really sneak up on some people. Because, I mean, their starting lineup, Kemba Walker, I mean, their starting five is pretty solid, 1-5.
It's really, really good. And you bring up a really good point in that you have a team that is very young. How much could youth play a part in this when you've got those young legs? They're going to play a ton of games in a really, really short amount of time. You're going to have to find a way to get up every single night. You wonder, could a young team like the Boston Celtics, maybe that youth, maybe their coaching. Brad Stevens is a phenomenal coach. He draws up some really good stuff. They've got some talent, like you talked about. I like that pick a lot. I think the Celtics are really, really sneaky, especially in the East. We know the East isn't quite as stacked as the West. Yeah, that's a really, really good pick. Okay, Rob, now let's go over to pretenders. I've got three pretenders, and I'm wondering if we will have any of them be the same. You got a pretender for us?
I do. My first one, sorry to say, is your Denver Nuggets.
I've got them on my list as well.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about them. I don't know if you've seen the Joker lately, but he came back, and he's probably lost, I think, a good 40 pounds probably.
Yes, he's so, so thin.
Yes, and so I'm just, you know, because that was kind of the center focus of their team. You know, he is a big, that's where, you know, he kind of made his bread and butter. And now that he's lighter, I don't know if he'll be able to, I don't know how much it'll change his game, I guess you should say, because he's lost a lot of weight, and that's just concerning for that inside presence that they had before.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is I worry about that too. I worry about how that's going to affect him just kind of growing into playing that way. It might be a little bit different, but this team is really immature. They've got some talent. They have enough talent to hang with anybody, but they're immature. They were stumbling. The shutdown actually might have been good for them because they were playing horrible, but this team, they almost need something to kind of galvanize them and get them to play hard, smart basketball every single time they step on the floor, and they don't have that. I don't know what that's going to be. I would be thrilled to be wrong, but I absolutely think the Denver Nuggets are a pretender because I don't like the look of this team night in, night out. They can go out and they can beat Milwaukee. They can beat the Lakers, and then they'll lose to Cleveland. They'll lose to Washington. It's a flaky, immature team, and I don't know how you fix that down in that bubble. I don't know that they're going to figure that out. Yeah, I've got the Nuggets as a pretender. Rob, I hate to do this. I'm kind of cheering for them, but I'm going to give a pretender to the Rockets. I'm not buying the Houston Rockets. Houston is going to play small ball. They don't have the big guys. They're going to go completely small. I think it was like a last resort because they were struggling so bad. James Harden and Russell Westbrook, they can totally prove me wrong and show that they can raise their game in the playoffs, but I'm not holding my breath because I've never seen it before. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Houston Rockets. I'm going to make them a pretender.
Yes, that was the second one that I had as well.
Oh, wow. Are we going to go three for three here?
Like you said, the same reason that you mentioned, and kind of like we talked about before, I wonder if the break can hurt a team like that because it is small ball. We're basically going to try to outscore you, and that's the thing that if you can't, you know, get that picked up fast or get that going right away, it might be too late.
They're going to have to shoot it really well, and we know they can't guard anybody, and that's fine. As long as no one can guard them, I just worry a little bit if they'll be a little easier to guard. I could see Houston being a pain. I could see them maybe winning a few games that you say, wow, they just shot the lights out tonight. But night to night, I don't know if you can do that every single night and just shoot it so well that you can overcome some of the big dogs. And we know this is basically like going to be a playoff stretch. You might beat some bad teams. I don't know if you can beat the big time talent over in the West, especially. Rob, I've got one more pretender. What do you have left?
My last one is the Portland Trailblazers.
Ooh, you're going Portland.
I am. I mean, I know right now they're sitting right behind the eighth spot, and so there is a question of them getting in, but I've heard a lot of people talking about them. You know, the past couple of years, they've kind of made the run, and they've kind of been in the mix, but I feel like they're all gassed out. I mean, I think they've already kind of hit their peak, and that's a team, like I said, they're sitting right on the edge right now. I don't think that's a team that's going to push through like they have in the past few years.
Well, and they're an interesting case because they're getting a few guys back. They're getting Yusuf Nurkic back. They're getting Zach Collins back, but they haven't played. They haven't played in months. I mean, longer than everyone else even because they were out so long with injuries. I know, like you said, a lot of people are picking Portland as kind of a dark horse over in the West. I'm not sure if I believe that they can really do any damage over there. They've got some talent, but it seems like every year that talent kind of comes up short. And let's not forget, like you said, they're a 9 seed. They had a 29-32 record when play was stopped. And they're going to be playing some really tough teams going down the stretch. Yeah, I could see Portland being a little bit of a pretender. I've got my final pretender is a team that, again, is kind of a dark horse by a lot of experts to win the East because they are really, really talented. I just don't have any faith in the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid is already injured, and I don't know that he's just ever reliable enough. It sounds like he's been whining about the accommodations down in Florida. He'll probably be injured throughout because that's just what he always does. He already has hurt his calf. I think the Philadelphia 76ers are a pretender. I think they're going to have to go through some tougher teams over on the Eastern side, and I think that's going to be too much for them. Rob, they're going to do this little goofy kind of play-in situation where they have like 8 regular season games, and then we'll see if you're close enough to the 8 seed, then they'll let you do kind of a little playoff. If not, we just take the top 8 teams. Is there anyone that right now is outside the playoffs that you could see playing their way in, or are we just going to go with our top 8?
If I had to pick one, I would say the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Just because of Zion. I don't think they will, but if anyone, I think it would be him. I mean, if he is as good as ESPN makes him up to be, I mean, he's definitely good. But that's somebody that, you know, maybe he comes back and that's the spark that the team needs and they could sneak in that last spot.
Well, and you just know that the NBA wants the Pelicans in so bad, because then that means in the first round, you would probably have LeBron versus Zion in the first round of the playoffs. You know they would love to have that matchup. Hey, here's the face of the NBA now, and here's the guy who we think is going to be the next face of the NBA. You know they want that. The NBA wouldn't, like, manipulate anything, would they? They're not.
Of course not.
We have the ultimate faith in the integrity of the NBA. We would never doubt anything like that. I think if I was going to put a team that was outside, the only team I can come up with would be Portland, because the only team they have to pass is Memphis. Now, I like Memphis. I really like Ja Morant. I think they got a steal with him. Memphis is an exciting young team, but maybe Portland could catch Memphis and maybe sneak in, but I think that's the only team that's outside that could get in. Rob, is there a team that is in the playoffs now that you could see playing their way out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I've got two for you. The first one is the 76ers.
Yeah, we're right there.
I can just see them having a full meltdown. I mean, I think they've had chemistry issues for a while. They blamed it on Jimmy Butler initially, but even after he left, I mean, even this season, they don't feel like a team really. They're not really clicking, and that's something that I could see them getting off to a bad start and just complete meltdown.
For sure. I could absolutely see that as well. I have a team that isn't in the playoffs, but Rob, I think the Washington Wizards, I don't even think they want to be in Florida. Like, they're just going to go out and just quit. They're like, why do we get invited? We don't want to come. Bradley Beal's not coming. I think the Wizards are going to full-on quit. I don't think they're going to win a single game. They're the 9 seed right now, so they're not even in. But I think they just give up and just say, forget it. We didn't want to be here to begin with.
Yeah, them and the other one I had is the Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh, that's
right,
a good
now,
one, too.
They're 7 spots. Pretty much all their stars are gone or hurt, and that's a team that kind of right there with the Wizards. Like, you know, I guess technically we're here because we have to be, but really don't want to be.
Rob, is there another person in the world that you can think of that you would less want to be in lockdown with than Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets? Because he's just completely out of his mind. Like, everything he says, I'm just like, what? What did he just say? Did he really just say he thinks the earth might be flat? What is he talking? I can't imagine what his views are during this whole pandemic thing. I bet he has some amazing stuff. We need to get him on the dose. I don't know how we do that. But I would love to pick his brain, if you will. That would be amazing.
And this isn't a sports guy, but Kanye West.
That's so funny. You just took the words out of my mouth. I was literally like, if Kanye's going to pick a vice president, why in the world would it not be Kyrie Irving? Oh, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Okay, coming back, we still need to discuss which players have the most on the line in the NBA bubble. Which players are going to get busted for sneaking out or maybe sneaking someone in? Who would actually turn them in? Plus, we still have to get to our picks for the NBA bubble finals this year. We are going to get to all those questions right after this. Let's finish up our NBA restart preview with El Presidente of the Daily Dose I-Team, Big Rob. Let's finish that up right now. Rob, we're going to have teams that just don't belong. Brooklyn shouldn't be in this. Orlando shouldn't be in this. Phoenix, Washington, Sacramento. These are teams that have no business being there. I don't know why the NBA took so many teams, except for the fact that I think they want the Pelicans to somehow get into the playoffs.
I think so, too. You know, they got the 8 teams and then Washington in the 9 spot. But like you said, they wanted to give the Pelicans that chance to sneak in there. And so they tried to even it out.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Rob, when we look at this season, we look at this weird kind of shutdown and just kind of look at everybody's different situations and their different eras and what they're kind of carrying right now. Is there a player out there that you look at in this whole season that you say, that is the player that has the most on the line? That is a guy that's got to find a way to win some games down in Orlando?
Yes, I got two for you.
Okay.
The first one is LeBron James.
For sure. For sure.
We already mentioned it. You know, he's getting older, all those miles, and, you know, he's got a chance, basically, you know, a shortened season. And so, you know, if you're going to get another one, I mean, this is a prime opportunity.
Well, and he's got a lot of free agents that are coming in the offseason for the Lakers. They've got a number of people they're going to have to make decisions on. You probably have LeBron's best supporting cast around him since probably his days back in Miami. No, I think you hit on the big one right there. I think LeBron has to win this year. He won't face a ton of criticism because it doesn't seem like, at least like most of the media really hammers on LeBron too much. But he'll get some criticism if the Lakers somehow come up short. I think he is the guy that has the most on the line. But who else do you have?
And my second one, he's got a lot on the line. I don't think there'll be any negative effects if he doesn't get it. But Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
He has a chance to get his third ring. You know, he was initially going to go to the Lakers. He decided to go to the Clippers. He's kind of just written his own ticket in a way. And like I said, another championship I think would just go a long way into really solidifying the type of player he is, from the San Antonio, a ring there, in Toronto, and then now basically just move over to the Clippers. And if he can get a ring now, I think that would just really kind of just define, you know, really, really define his career.
Rob, if Kawhi Leonard wins a ring, do we have to put him up in that same conversation with like the LeBrons and the Kobes and that kind of group? Is he got to like get some talk among like some of the best ever?
I really think it does. Like I said, that's why I think, you know, he does have a lot on the line. Like I said, if he doesn't get it, it's not going to be a negative effect. But I mean, if you think about it, if he wins a ring this year, that would be his third, three different teams, three different types of teams. I mean, I think that's got to put him in the conversation.
That's a really, really good point. Kawhi Leonard is going to be interesting to watch. We kind of fast forward through a lot of people. Like you start talking, okay, it's Jordan. And then all of a sudden we fast forwarded past Magic and past all these guys. And then it's LeBron. And you're like, hey, wait a second. If Kawhi has as many rings as LeBron, and he's done it in a lot of different situations, that's kind of got to put him up in that conversation. Kawhi Leonard is going to be really, really interesting to watch in this whole situation, because I don't know how the Clippers are going to look with everyone on the floor. We didn't get to see it a whole lot. When they were all on the floor, they looked really, really good. We just didn't get to see a ton of it. Rob, we've got some good, young, talented players down in the bubble in Orlando. We've got some good, young, bright stars coming in this league. Is there a young player that you look at that you say you could see them maybe leading their team a little bit further than people might expect?
I mean, we already kind of mentioned it. I think Zion is the obvious one here.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
But outside of that, the second one I had was actually two, we also mentioned earlier, from the Celtics, Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think those two young guys, with that team as a whole, is, you know, it is pretty young. But I think those two guys in particular could really, you know, pick up and carry that team.
Well, and the thing that I really like about both of those guys you just named, both of them can play at both ends, and they can kind of play any position. They can kind of go one through at least three or four. That makes them really, really different, because they can shoot it from outside. You've got to find them. They can play some defense. They can attack you inside. That's a really, really nice situation that the Celtics have these wing players, and they've got a number of them that can be a pain, because that can be really, really difficult to defend if you're the opposing team. Yeah, I like that pick as well. I'm going to go with Luka Doncic down with the Dallas Mavericks. I think Luka and the Mavericks have a chance not to win the West. I don't think they're that good, but I do think that he could maybe carry them to maybe a playoff series win. And I don't think going into the season, any of us expected the Mavericks probably to even make the playoffs. Luka looks like a stud, and he's got Kristaps Porzingis. You've got a really good head coach in Rick Carlisle. I think the Mavs, I don't think they'll, like I said, contend for the West, but I think they could be a pain. I think you're going to have to use some energy to get past Dallas.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like I said, you've just kind of seen Luka's game just kind of develop, you know, year after year, even over the season. And that is a guy that I could see kind of, you know, taking over a game or a series.
Rob, as usual, we only, you know, field the hard-hitting questions when we're here on the Dose. We've got to talk about another few other situations, most likely two kind of situations down in this NBA bubble. Rob, we know sometimes the older guys, they're not quite as sharp. Are we going to see like a coach down in the bubble, like just be completely clueless about the pandemic? Like he has no idea. He's talking in someone's face. He doesn't have a mask on. It doesn't really seem like he really has any idea what's going on with the pandemic. Are we going to see like a clueless coach down in Orlando?
I guess we are. I'm going to nominate Brett Brown, Philadelphia 76ers.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. I could totally see that happening. He'll be talking to someone on camera. He'll take his mask down because he doesn't really need that. I thought about going with Brett Brown. I thought about going with like an older guy here. I'm going to go with the young kind of dummy. I'm going to go with Sacramento coach Luke Walton because like I could totally see Luke Walton like wearing his mask over his ear instead of his mouth or something. Like he's just kind of a goofball guy. When you see like his dad, what he grew up with, Luke Walton, I don't know if he's going to grasp this whole concept. Like, he was raised on weed every single day of his life. What in the world is he going to do?
Am I driving okay?
I think we're parked, man.
I could totally see Luke being clueless.
Yes, that's a good one.
Rob, we've already heard about this. It's already starting to happen a little bit. Do we have a player from the NBA down in the bubble that is most likely to get busted letting some skanks into the bubble?
Yes, I've got two for you on this one.
Perfect.
The first one, James Harden.
I think okay.
His love of exotic dancers
yes.
is quite publicized. And so I think that might be something that he needs just to get his game going on, to get his game right. He might get caught
in a few. That's an excellent choice. And you know what, Rob? You bring up something even more interesting because James Harden, let's say he doesn't even smuggle them back. Let's say he sneaks out and he's out and about. That beard is going to carry some things. Like, that is a trap for a number of different things. He could have vermin in there. He could have lice in there. He could easily be carrying a virus in that giant beard. James Harden, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. That's a very, very good one. I've got two as well. What else? Who else could I put there? Lakers guard J.R. Smith is still my favorite. I could easily see him smuggling in some Orlando strippers like into his room. But now I've got to think about Clippers guard Lou Williams because he's already snuck out to go to a strip bar. He's been placed in a 10-day quarantine. I doubt he's the only guy doing this, but Lou Williams and J.R. Smith, they're the two guys I'm thinking of. Rob, who else do you have? Who else is going to get busted down there?
My next one is Rudy Gobert. I could just see him. I mean, he's kind of the face of the shutdown for the NBA.
Yes, he is.
And I think I could also see him sneaking somebody in, blows up everything, and so once again, it's all put on him. He is the face of now the second NBA shutdown.
And we're sitting there looking at Rudy like, I can't believe he did it again. I can't believe he did it again. He brings back some Orlando strippers, and then he goes around and touches everyone's mic, and now we have who knows what we all... That's a perfect pick. Excellent pick on Rudy Gobert. Rob, are we crazy thinking these NBA guys can pull this thing off? Like, are they really going to... Are they going to behave themselves down there? Can we do this?
I hope so. I think if we can just get it started, I think if we can get through this week, once it's starting and you got the games going,
yeah,
then I think everybody will lock in.
That's a good point because it's like right now, we're almost where we are when we have like NFL training camps and you hear a lot of guys, yeah, they're going out to the bar, they're going out and they're getting in trouble and you have some things like that. That's a really good point because once the games get started, maybe everyone will settle down. Maybe Lou Williams will focus and they'll just stay in the bubble and they'll take care of business instead of trying to sneak out and do God knows what. Yeah, that's a good call. Rob, we know that the NBA has this tip hotline established where you can call in and you can be like, hey, I just saw so-and-so doing something that's breaking protocol. If there is a guy in the NBA that is going to use that tip hotline to like rat somebody out, who do you think is going to be the guy making the call? Not who they're calling about, who's making the call and tattling on someone?
Got two for you again. My first one is my same scapegoat, Rudy Gobert. Once again, turns in, he's calling the hotline, turns in people. We find out it's Rudy that made the call. And again, Rudy is the face of the shutdown.
He's just going to be hated again. Rudy Gobert is a weird cat, man. That's a weird dude. Yeah, I could see that one. You know, I'm going to go with my first. I've got two as well. I'm going to go with like more kind of the logical, logistic kind of guy. I'm going to go with LeBron James because he's got a lot on the line. I think LeBron James might be like, hey, this dude's out here wearing a mask. Can you get him out of here? Because I don't want to get sick. I don't want this shut down. I've got to win a title here. So I'm going to go with LeBron as my first pick purely because I think he really wants to try to win this title that's kind of hanging over him. So I'm going to go with him as my first pick. But I've got one more. Who else do you have?
My second one is actually a former player, Paul Pierce. I feel like it's just a general... just a bit of a hater, and I could just see him.
That's a great pick.
Outside the bubble, yeah. Just
once again, Rob, this is why you're the president, because Paul Pierce is exactly the guy that would be doing this, and he'd be telling on everyone just out of sheer bitterness that he's not playing. That's a really, really good call. That's a really good call. I could totally see that happening. I've got one more guy, and why do I have the feeling, and this isn't fair, I know he's a good guy, but why do I have the feeling that if you were maybe in school and you had a class with this guy and the teacher was like, okay, everybody have a good night, that Chris Paul would be like, teacher, you forgot to give us homework. I could totally see Chris Paul being that guy. Like, he's like, teacher, you said you were going to assign a book report and you didn't assign it. Can we get our book report, please? I could totally see that easily. Chris Paul down with Oklahoma City, he could easily be kind of that tattletale kind of guy. We're going to have no crowds. We're going to have maybe some piped in noise, but I would think that microphones down on the floor just might pick up some conversations that we're not used to hearing. Is there a player in the NBA, or maybe even a coach in the NBA, or maybe Paul Pierce in the NBA? Is there someone out there that you're saying, the mic is going to pick up that guy saying something he absolutely should not be saying?
Yes, I got two for you again. Patrick Beverley is my first one.
Oh, that's a good one, because we know that Patrick likes to talk.
Yeah, likes to talk, and I think that's someone that just, once he's in the game, locked in, will forget he is mic'd up and just say something wild.
Yes, and I could see him saying it to anyone. He doesn't care. He will talk to LeBron. He will talk to Kawhi. He does not care. He will run his mouth. That's kind of how he's made his living and eked out like a career. That's just how he rolls. That's just how he goes. That's a really, really good call. I've got one, and I'm wondering if we're going to have the same one. I'm going to let you tee this one up, because I have a feeling we might have the same guy. Who else might say something terrible on the microphones?
No, I think we got a different one. My second one is Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, wow.
And I think that would just be interesting, because when it would be said, everyone would be confused. Did Kawhi really say that? And they would be checking the tapes and going back. Just if he just said something off the wall, I think that would just trip everybody out. Because, again, he never talks.
He never talks. If you had to pick out his voice, like if I played audio clips of voices, I couldn't pick out Kawhi Leonard. I don't even know what he sounds like.
I only know his laugh.
You're exactly right. I only know his laugh. That is so weird. That is the only thing we know. I don't even know what the guy sounds like. A lot of people, you can just hear the voice and be like, no, that's him. I don't even know how he sounds. I don't even know how he talks. I don't know if he has an accent. I don't know what he sounds like. He never, ever talks. I'm going to go with someone different. I think there's going to be someone else down in Orlando going to get picked up by the microphones saying something probably horrible, because Houston Rockets guard Russell Westbrook, he's always just angry. Again, that's just how he rolls. He's always flaring up like a pack of hemorrhoids. I could see Russell just like yelling, I don't know, at the scorer table, because he's a mad little guy. I don't know. I could see Russell Westbrook saying something absolutely terrible, or like cussing out a ref, or just yelling at an opponent. Russ is he's a hot-tempered guy.
Yeah, that's another good one. And again, that's the same, kind of like the Beverly. That's just someone that once they get locked in the game, I could, you know, see them honestly forgetting that they're mic'd up.
Totally forgetting even what he's doing. Okay, Orlando bubble is going to start tomorrow night. We're going to have the NBA rolling. We're going to have a few months of NBA games. I do think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be weird, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be exciting, because we're going to have a lot on the line. It's just going to be a little bit strange. I think once we kind of like adjust and adapt, we'll kind of forget about the crowd. We'll just start watching the games, and that would be better. But, Rob, right now I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to make a championship pick, who are the two teams going to the NBA Finals? And we know that's months out, so who knows, you know, injuries and that kind of thing. If you had to pick the two teams going to the NBA Finals, who would you pick for the Finals this year?
Right now, coming out the West, I'm going to take the LA Clippers.
Okay. Clippers are going to be tough.
And from the East, I'm going to take Boston Celtics.
Celtics versus Clippers in the NBA Finals. That'd be a really, really interesting Finals, actually. You'd have both very, very interesting teams. If you were going to make your call right now, how does that final series go?
I'm going to say Clippers. I'm going to take in Clippers in seven. Kind of like we talked about earlier, I like the narrative behind Kawhi getting his third ring. And so I'm going to say the Clippers.
I am going to, and I struggled with this because I thought about this for a long time. There's four or five teams that can realistically probably play their way into the finals. the interesting thing about this year is, one, we don't know how these teams are going to respond to being in this weird situation. It's weird for everybody. It's weird for the players, obviously. We don't know how they're going to respond. We also, every single team that we look at, the top teams, the best teams, they all have flaws, and they all have flaws that could bite them. The Lakers have flaws. The Bucks have flaws. The Celtics, the Clippers, the Raptors, the Heat. They all have flaws with their game. So you could see, in the right scenario, a number of teams could step forward and actually go in the East because of their experience, because of their mentality, because of their coaching staff. I'm going to go with Toronto getting back to the NBA Finals from the East. The Toronto Raptors go. I think Nick Nurse is a really, really good coach. Pascal Siakam has turned out to be an absolute stud. I don't know where that kid came from, but wow. All of a sudden, like, he's a legit stud. You've got Kyle Lowry. You've got Serge Ibaka. And then in the West, I'm going to go LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers. I do worry a little bit about their shooting. Their defense has gotten better when they feel like playing it all the time. I think that could be the difference. I'm going to go Lakers versus Raptors in the finals. And I will go Lakers in seven in that final series. Rob, we've already laid out the NBA Finals. We've laid out how the season is going to go. I mean, I guess people can watch if they want to, but we've already told them right now what's going to happen. So I guess we're going to find out. Before we let you go, though, I've got to ask you, NFL, college football, are we going to get this stuff back? What do you think? How's this all going to go?
I'm confident in the NFL.
Yeah,
I think they'll have enough time with the other sports going on to make tweaks and kind of be set. I think they get the chance to kind of learn from everybody's mistakes, and they're the biggest, you know, they're the biggest market out there. So I think they'll get it right. But college football is really making me nervous. I know they keep cutting the games back and talk about just an in-conference thing, and that's the one that I'm worried. If we don't get one back, I think it's going to be college football.
Yeah, I think college football is in a really, really tough spot because you've kind of got these kids in bubbles right now, but then you're going to bring back the general population of the university, and now you could be compromising some kids. The interesting thing for me, for one, if you were a college athlete, Rob, you know, if you were being offered right now, do you want to play, do you not want to play, what would you be picking?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would probably say play. I mean, just at that age, 18, 19, that's kind of what you care about the most, you know, is playing. I would probably be leaning towards playing.
Yeah, I would too. And I think that's how most of these kids are going to react. I think they're going to have to try to figure out, is there some sort of safety protocols you can kind of follow? Could you put the athletes in one specific kind of area and keep them there? The issue is going to be, how are you going to have them going to classes and going out in public around other kids? Because if you get that outbreak, then you could have some weird things happening. I'm really, really hoping that college football is going to come back. I think the SEC is playing. Like, I don't think they care. They're going to play no matter what. Maybe we just have like SEC Island this year, and we just watch the SEC every single week because no one else is going to play. But the SEC is like, yeah, we're going to play. Like when the Pac-12 came out and said, you know, they were going to cut some things back and they weren't sure if they're going to play, I think the SEC looked at that like, oh, if that's how you're going to do it, then we're going to just do the opposite. Like, we're just going to totally play everything then because we don't like follow what California does at all. I don't think they care. And it's so much money. I don't think they're going to want to get rid of the money. I think the SEC might just roll them out and just play anyways. The NFL, like you said, they've kind of come up with a few different scenarios. I think the NFL is going to figure it out. I really, really hope that we have something breakthrough where we figure out a way to have college football safely and we get that going, because it would be weird without college football. We love college football. It's going to be really, really weird if we don't have it. Rob, I have to say, as usual, thank you so much for stopping by the Dose, giving us some insight as to what's going to happen in the NBA. Hey, El Presidente, once again, you nailed it coming in this week. We've got to have you back on, though, because we're going to have to talk NFL, college football. Some things are starting up. We might have to talk about how sports are going, but we always appreciate when you stop by. Thanks so much for everything that you contribute to the Daily Dose.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure, and I will be back anytime you want me. I'll be back.
Hey, next week on the Dose, we now have some sports actually getting going. Major League Baseball has started. The NBA is getting underway tomorrow. The NHL is going to be starting. We just might have to take a look back at what we have learned so far in this weird restart that we have going. Plus, you know we're going to have a bunch of sports news. We just might have another Daily Dose Top 5 for you, so you have to make sure that you stop by and check out the Dose next week. Hey, don't forget to go over to YouTube, subscribe to our Daily Dose channel. Look for our Daily Dose logo. I'll leave links for it everywhere so that you can find the videos over there. Have to say thank you so much to El Presidente Big Rob for coming into the Dose and talking some NBA with us today. And you know what, Rob? Thanks so much for everything you contribute to the Dose every single week. We do appreciate it. And thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every single week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our Daily Dose YouTube channel. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
Ha 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 ha!